Colorado's economy at risk. Is now a good time to be reckless with our economy and Constitution? Vote no on Amendment 47. It's risky, it's reckless, it's wrong. And that's why Coloradans for Middle Class Relief are proud to have paid for this message. Today, our economic future seems riskier than ever. But for a few rich owners, it's business as usual. Those few owners would put Colorado's economy at risk, just so they can cut wages and reduce health care for their employees and make more for themselves. Their Amendment 47 would risk what's taken Colorado working people over 60 years to earn: a living wage, decent health care, a secure retirement. Now business leaders like the Colorado Bankers Association and Denver Metro Chamber of Commerce are uniting with working families to say no to those few rich owners. These business people know Amendment 47 would put Colorado's economy at risk. Is now a good time to be reckless with our economy and Constitution? Vote no on Amendment 47. It's risky, it's reckless, it's wrong. And that's why Coloradans for Middle Class Relief are proud to have paid for this message.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and with us this morning is Mike McNulty, who I've known for a number of years, who already did some yeoman's work as far as the story of what really happened at Waco. Now, what you really need to do is, of course, see the films Waco, Rules of Engagement, Waco into Revelation. But, of course, this morning we're going to be talking about the DVD on the FLAIR project. And, of course, I'm going to let Mike explain that to you. But if you do not know what happened at Waco, you remember the standoff between the Branch Davidians and the FBI, started with an unnecessary raid on the part of BATF. It was aimed at getting publicity for the BATF because they'd gotten such a bad name after they killed Vicki Weaver. They had a sniper blow her head off when she was standing in a doorway holding a child. She had done no crime at all. They intentionally and wantonly killed her because some psychologists said she headed the family, and the best way to get the family to surrender after they'd killed their son was to kill the mother. And, of course, so to remedy that, the BATF had the raid on Waco, and of course, it ended up in calamity. So the FBI took over, and then they couldn't manage it, and they brought in a special forces team, and they killed the women and children there. But we can't let the American people know that. But that's the story of Waco and New Revelation. You'll hear there the testimony of the people who knew the special forces men who went in there, and they were just carrying out orders. They were simply American fighting men carrying out the orders that they were given to kill women and children, and they did it. Maybe they didn't know what they were doing, but they did it anyway, and now we can't let the American people know that all those people who died with a bullet in the back of their head, the men, that they were simply assassinated by the government agents. And so we've got to come up with all sorts of cover stories like they did on what happened on September 11th, and the American people, because of the media's control, never get the truth. Well, Mike McNulty took a stand to try to bring the truth out, and he worked for a number of years and did a wonderful job. But the final production was the FLIR project, which was aimed at determining that the government story that, oh my goodness, we never fired into the compound that last day. We would never have fired in there. Then why there were women and children in there? Do you think we're monsters? And that the truth of the matter was there was firing from the government, and for somebody from the government into the compound. And that's what the FLIR project was all about. And Mike, why don't you tell our listeners what this was about, what you did, and why they need to get the DVD on the FLIR project? Because if we don't understand what happened in Waco, we can't understand what happened in Oklahoma, we can't understand what happened with the downing of TWA 800, and we certainly can't understand what happened on September 11, 2001, which led us into the war in the Middle East. It all goes back to Waco. You pick up the story.
Well, sir, first of all, it's wonderful to be back on KHNC and talking to some of my old friends here in Colorado. And it's always a pleasure to be with you, Stan. The Waco incident, why is it important? It's 15 years ago, for Pete's sakes, some people would say. Well, it was a bellwether, a benchmark of behavior on the part of government. Interestingly enough, the Branch Davidians had a theology, their own special theology, I have to admit, that said that they were part of a group of people that would expose the beast, the terrible beast that they believed existed in the form of the government, and that they would be responsible for even offering their lives in sacrifice in order to demonstrate who the beast is, so that when the time came and the beast arrives, that we would all, the rest of us, would recognize the beast as through its behavior, which will be similar, if not identical, to what happened at Waco. And I think looking ahead in these times, we see the potential for these kinds of things to happen. There is a whole brigade that's now based in Colorado Springs, a U.S. Army brigade that's dedicated to dealing with civil disturbance. And, of course, we're all very, very aware of what's going on right now in our country and in the world relative to the economic collapse that's in process. What does the government fear? Well, I think that will be revealed in time. How they might behave, what they might do, little things like, okay, people have been putting away food because they believe there might be shortages in the near future. Well, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but there's this law called the Patriot Act that has segments in it that deal with hoarding. The government's going to dictate exactly how much food you can have, and you may not have more than that, and if you do, it will be confiscated, and then the government will handle its distribution. Things like this may not set well with Americans. There may be a great deal of civil unrest. There may be a number of people who are going to be upset with the presidential election, either way, whether it goes for McCain or Obama. There's the potential, a great potential, for a great deal of civil unrest. Now, how might the government respond, and why would it act that way? Well, first of all, you have to come to the conclusion, and if you haven't yet, I'm going to rank you in the naive column. You have to come to the conclusion that when the bets are down and it's the final day, the government will protect its own interests, and those may be mutually exclusive of your interest as a citizen. Has it done it before? Oh, yes. Will it do it again in the future? Yes. So the question becomes one of how will it behave? Should you trust your friendly neighborhood local government? Well, depends on whether you know these guys or not and how much power and control they have if you're talking about your local government. But should you trust your local federal government? I would suggest not. They're disconnected from who the people are and what they are and what their needs are. The interest of the government, per se, is to protect itself. And in doing so, it will go to great lengths. And I believe that was the situation at Waco. It felt that the Branch Davidians were a threat.
All right, we're going to be back.
Setting the stage that way.
Hang on there, Mike. We'll be back in just a moment with Michael McCulty. Talking about what happened in Waco 15 years ago.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of C&C Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
Today, our economic future seems riskier than ever. But for a few rich owners, it's business as usual. Those few owners would put Colorado's economy at risk, just so they can cut wages and reduce health care for their employees and make more for themselves. Their Amendment 47 would risk what's taken Colorado working people over 60 years to earn. A living wage, decent health care, a secure retirement. Now business leaders like the Colorado Bankers Association and Denver Metro Chamber of Commerce are uniting with working families to say no to those few rich owners. These business people know Amendment 47 would put Colorado's economy at risk. Is now a good time to be reckless with our economy and Constitution? Vote no on Amendment 47. It's risky, it's reckless, it's wrong. And that's why Coloradans for Middle Class Relief are proud to have paid for this message. If Wall Street has taught us anything, it's that we can't trust our economy to the wishes of a greedy few. That's why today in Colorado, leading businesses and organizations are standing united with working families against a few greedy owners and their risky Amendment 47. The Denver Metro Chamber of Commerce, Quest, Xcel Energy, and the Colorado Nonprofit Association are just a few who have joined to say no to Amendment 47. They know now's not the time to gamble with Colorado's economy, just to benefit a greedy few. They know Amendment 47 would put at risk the wages and benefits our working families have earned. Bill Coors has even said, quote, "The current law has worked for over 60 years. If it's not broken, why fix it?" We need to vote no on Amendment 47. It's risky, it's reckless, it's wrong. And that's why Coloradans for Middle Class Relief have paid for this message.
Well, here at the American Network, our guest this morning, Mike McNulty. Mike, you pick up the story from there.
Well, Dr. Stan, I guess the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, history repeats itself over and over again, particularly when human beings don't learn the lessons taught by history. Dr. Santana packaged that little concept up years and years ago, that those that fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat the same mistakes. And indeed, that's what I worry about relative to what happened at Waco. There's been several generations of youngsters that, starting with the group that were, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, 11 years old, 12 years old when Waco occurred. And now they're young adults. They're in college. They're in university. Their little minds are being filled with all kinds of mush. And one of the things that isn't taught generally is what actually happened at Waco. To distill it all down into a 35-minute short film was quite a task. So we focused on the one issue, that was emblematic of the whole incident. Catching the government lying. Showing that the government was lying. How the government was lying. And what the outcome was lethal. And what that was the shooting issue. Now there's questions of how the fire started. There's questions about the use of CS gas. There's questions about the use of pyrotechnics. But the real element is those people were kept inside the building. They could not surrender, even if they wanted to, because they were in fear of their lives of being shot. Well, how could that be? The government said they didn't fire a single shot. So we focused on that issue of the gunfire. Interestingly enough, the government itself documented everything that it did in still photos and videotape taken from the air. That videotape was very special. It was an infrared device. A forward-looking infrared device, which in essence meant that they could circle the compound, as they called it, and could see things that you wouldn't be able to see if you were just using a regular TV camera, for example. And what they could see was the heat produced by different objects. And sometimes it was a lack of heat, sometimes it was a great deal of heat. For example, when a firearm was fired, you could see the hot muzzle flash on the infrared tape. Now, they claim, no, you can't. You can't see it. It got into a big technical beef. And what happened was that Janet Reno was sort of put into a box by myself and some of my friends, and she was put into a position to where the Waco issues resurrected themselves vis-a-vis the claim that the government had claimed for 6 years that the government had not used any pyrotechnic devices, when in fact they had. And we found evidence of that. And, of course, along with that came all the other issues of how the fire started, of course, and the gunfire issue.
I think for our listeners, the way they found out about the pyrotechnic devices is because Mike was able to get into the storage room where all the evidence was kept, that the FBI had a specific area where the material was kept. He was helped to get in by a federal attorney, and, of course, the government came after that federal attorney and threatened to send him to prison and take away his law license. And
that's true.
Effectively destroyed this man. Why? Because he allowed Mike and the others to see the evidence that showed that the government was lying. And if you're a federal attorney, you don't dare ever help the enemy, who are the Americans.
Well, I think in fairness to Mr. Johnson, the truth was is that all of the trials, the criminal trial business, had gone all the way through, including the appeals process. So the case was closed. The question was, what was going to become of that evidence now that the case was closed? Everyone's convictions had been upheld and altered and changed, and they were all serving their sentences. So the evidence wasn't in an active piece of litigation or prosecution. So Mr. Johnson, being the honest guy that he was, he had some doubts. And I have to admit, I fueled his fire of doubt and raised issues and questions based on the evidence that I'd already discovered through the good offices of the attorneys who had defended the Branch Davidians, materials that the judge, Judge Walter Smith, would not allow to be presented in court. So I brought this together, showed it to Mr. Johnson, and he was convinced that I should take a look. So I brought some experts with me. One of them was the former explosives experts for the FBI crime lab, a former FBI agent. The other was a gentleman who was an explosives designer and manufacturer. And interestingly enough, he was the very fellow who had sold a number of pyrotechnic rounds of various types to the FBI hostage rescue team. So it was his devices that we found in an expended fashion in the evidence locker, and we had him look at them and analyze them and determine under what circumstances they had been used. So we had some really good firsthand expert advice involved in that. Well, we found the evidence, and it was brought to the attention by the media, of all people, at one of her Thursday morning briefings that she did on a regular basis.
You're speaking now to Janet Reno.
Janet Reno, exactly. Yeah. And Ms. Reno was, she said she was not embarrassed, as a reporter had asked her if she was, but that she was angry that the FBI had lied. And that's the only time I can say that Janet Reno acted in an honest capacity. And interestingly enough, she sent the U.S. Marshals to the FBI Hostage Rescue Training Center. And they searched for evidence, and they found more evidence, including two cassettes of additional infrared videotape that the FBI had made but claimed did not exist. And so here's additional evidence regarding the gunfire business. So at that point, Ms. Reno apparently understood that she had better take some action on this. So she appointed a special counsel, and that special counsel was former Senator Jack Danforth of Pennsylvania. And interestingly enough, his job was not, in my opinion, to discover the truth, although that was his out front explanation of what he was doing, but rather his job was to make sure that the Waco incident was once and for all buried. So we worked with Mr. Danforth. We cooperated with him, gave him information, which he used as a rag doll to set up and beat about the head and shoulders and say, see, didn't happen. That was the net result of his so-called investigation. Then it was our turn. I love that. Now it's my turn. And we went in and began investigating Danforth's investigation. And what we found and what we discovered in our own recreation of the gunfire incident is just utterly amazing. What Danforth's crew did to hide the truth, and what we did in uncovering the truth.
Well, I like to say to reveal the truth or to conceal the truth. That's what it was all about.
It seems to be. And that's exactly what occurred. And I'm happy to report that our view, our point of view of the truth holds up very strongly in the FLIR Project film. And I'm happy that we're having this opportunity now to finally release it in a way that hopefully more and more people will see it. And that is because we're releasing it on DVD for the first time. This is going to be an official release of the film for the first time on DVD. And I believe, Dr. Stan, you're going to be offering it to your listeners for $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And we'll be we're in process of producing those DVDs as we speak. We'd like to find a way to do something with the label on the outside that looks halfway decent, but I'm not quite sure how all that's going to work out, except to say that the DVD itself will be first-class, first-rate copy of our original FLIR Project film. And we're very excited about it because it encapsulates the bottom line of what Waco was about and how the government, even years after the event, will go to great lengths and spend great gobs of your tax money to make sure that things like this are dead and buried. Well, unfortunately, we're sort of like Michael Jackson. We raised up out of the grave in, like, Thriller fashion, and they're not happy about that. As a matter of fact, a little sidebar here, Dr. Stan. Recently, about 2-3 weeks ago, there was an episode of on television of, I forget what the name of the program is. Well, what they did was, it's a group of FBI hostage rescue team people who are criminal analysts, and I believe the name of the show is Criminal Minds. And generally, it's been a really good show, very interesting. Well, this time they ran across, interestingly enough, in Colorado, a David Koresh-like figure. And they portrayed him as molesting little girls in this religious compound and little boys and so on and so forth. And it just ran out the whole Waco scenario all over again. But this time, they referred, the FBI folks would refer to the FBI's own actions at Waco. Oh, we can't do that. We've got to do this. And back and forth and back and forth. And they fixed everything. And they wound up killing the Koresh figure guy and his lieutenants and rescuing the children before the whole building blew up in a ball of flame. And they rewrote history. So you know that the FBI was a collaborator on the making of that film.
Just one quick question.
Yes, sir.
You know, did David Koresh really molest children? Do you think there's any truth to that, or was this simply part of the cover story for the murder of the children by the Delta team?
Well, my opinion is that he probably had sexual relations with underage girls.
Okay.
Underage meaning under the age of 14, I believe it is, in Texas, or the law was at that time. Yes, I believe that was the case. But I would ask you, as a culture, as a society, are we still in the mode of burning social and religious heretics at the stake with their children, burning them alive? If we are, then Waco is justified. But if we've gone beyond that as a culture, as a society, then that was an act that was beyond the pale and unacceptable on the part of our own government's behavior.
And Janet Reno, of course, would still be liable for murder because she ordered it, as did Bill Clinton, of course.
Well, let's put it this way. There were two people named on the warrant that the ATF served in the first place, and that was David Koresh and Paul Fatta. Paul Fatta was not present the day that they conducted their raid. As a matter of fact, the whole 51 days he was not there, including April the 19th. So, you know, two people, that means there was like 146 innocent bystanders standing there during the ATF raid, during which, of course, there were four federal agents killed, and there were six Branch Davidians killed. Now, those homicides are on the hands of those that conducted the raid in the fashion that they did. They were the ones, the ATF, had the responsibility for the overall safety of everyone involved, Branch Davidians, innocent bystanders, the two suspects, and the federal agents. So in the end, who has the ultimate authority and who has thereby the ultimate responsibility? The federal government and its representatives like Janet Reno. ultimately the safety of those children and their parents, even the suspects, had the right to have an expectation of safe passage out of that situation and into custody and a fair trial. That's what the Constitution guarantees. It doesn't guarantee that you can be burned alive in your own home. And that's exactly what happened. And central to that was, well, if people were threatened with fire, whether some of their own started it or the federal agents started it, of which both things did occur, then what are they supposed to do? Well, they should flee. That would be the natural thing to do. You and I, Dr. Stan, if we were in a burning building, we would try and escape. But if there are people outside firing into the building, you might give pause to thought, and your thoughts may go to the point of, do I want to burn to death or do I want to be shot to death?
But I thought many of the children were actually killed by the explosives used by the Delta.
That's something else we can address in the next segment.
Okay, we'll be back in just a moment with Mike McGoldy. Ladies and gentlemen, never forget Waco. Never forget that the culprits, people responsible, are still alive and well and living comfortably.
And I approve this message. Paid for by Obama for America.
At this defining moment in our history, the question's not, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? The real question is, will our country be better off 4 years from now? Here's what I'll do as president. I'll launch a rescue plan for the middle class that begins with a tax cut for 95% of working Americans. I'll end the tax breaks for companies that ship our jobs overseas and give them to companies that create jobs here in America. I'll focus on our urgent national priorities, reducing the cost of health care, breaking our dependence on foreign oil, and making sure that every child gets the education they need to compete. We face real challenges, and they won't be easy to solve. But we can do it if we end the mindless partisanship, curb special interest power, and restore our sense of common purpose. Because if we stand together, we can meet our challenges and ensure that there are better days ahead.
This is Ann Johnson. For 14 years, I've owned Brightside Natural Health. The prophecies of Revelation are being fulfilled at an amazing rate, and the kingdom of God is at hand. My passion is to follow God's command to heal the sick and share the reality of Jesus Christ. God faithfully shows me effective, life-changing products like Vital PSP. PSP helps the body heal itself the way God intended. God promises to be present in the midst of your storm. Stop the storm and enjoy God's abundant health. Call me at 303-833-2784.
What happened to John McCain? He used to be a straight talker. Now he's running the most dishonest campaign in modern American history. John McCain is trying to deny it, but here's what he told the Pueblo Chieftain about the Colorado River Compact that helps protect our water rights.
So the compact that is in effect obviously needs to be renegotiated.
John McCain said that on August 14th this year at a forum conducted by the Chieftain, and his remarks remain on their website, chieftain.com. Listen again.
So the compact that is in effect obviously needs to be renegotiated.
But now he denies saying it at all, because John McCain knows renegotiating the compact means Colorado will lose water rights. John McCain, he's not the same, but he's for the same old Bush economics.
I'm Barack Obama, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Obama for America.
Do you want to improve your skin's appearance but don't have the foggiest clue what you need or even what's available? Are you confused about the technical lingo surrounding beauty treatments? You've got fractionals, laser peels, IPLs, CO2s, photofacials. Confused yet? You're not alone. Most people are. That's why we at Radiant Clinic have put together a list of questions you need to ask before you buy any non-surgical cosmetic treatments. Call us at 970-278-0900 and ask for your free questionnaire or visit our website at RadiantClinicColorado.com.
Well, that's Dan back here. I'm Mike McNulty, and we're talking about the fate of the children, which, of course, why did the children die? Well, many of them were in some sort of a silo? What was that?
Well, actually, it was the location originally had been built back in the 1920s, late 1920s, and there was a concrete steel-reinforced records vault that was at the center of the wooden structure that we see in film footage today as Mount Carmel. It would have been directly at the base of the four-story tower in the center of the building. That records vault was just adjoining or just off of the kitchen area and dining room area. It was used for a number of different things. It was used to store food and water. It was also used to store firearms from their gun business and ammunition. And it was pretty good size. It was about 24 feet by 18 feet, I believe, something in that nature. And it had 4 to 6 inch steel reinforced concrete walls and a roof ceiling and a heavy concrete foundation. So it was pretty substantial. There was a narrow door that went into the room. It was less than a standard door width that you might find in your home. But it had no door on it. There was a curtain hung over it at that particular time in 1993. That records vault is interesting because during the time of the early morning hours of April the 19th, before the raid began at 6 a.m., the Delta Force people had one of their best-trained persons who had the ability to go in and look around and reconnoiter and place devices. This is in our second film, The Waco A New Revelation. That individual came in and placed listening devices in the wall, the outer wall, of the concrete so-called bunker or records vault. They could hear what was going on inside of the records vault, and they were very aware of it as to it being a place where, in the event of a gas attack like the one that did occur, people would take shelter. And what they thought, that is the government, and that's very clear in some of their documents and records, was that David Koresh and his lieutenants would take shelter there. Well, sure enough, by mid-morning, about 10 a.m. or thereabouts, Koresh and his lieutenant, Steve Schneider, were in that room. They took off their gas masks, and they found that the air was clear in that room. And they left the room. But apparently, after they left the room, they made a decision to get the women and the children down there from their upstairs second floor location so that it would be better for them in terms of the gas. There was problems with the children with gas because there were no gas masks for the children. So it was that Koresh had all of the young mothers and the children brought down to the church records vault. Just as the last of them were going through that doorway, a CEV vehicle, construction engineering vehicle, came through the outer wall and smashing through the interior walls, drove right up and hit the doorway area of the concrete vault, damaging it. At that particular point, the operator said in his 302 report, which is an official FBI document, that he emptied an entire bottle of CS gas into the room. Apparently, they didn't know, they claimed they didn't know the children were in the room at
that
time.
Yeah, but that was their responsibility to know. But was that what killed them, or what about the explosive device?
More importantly, they tell me this. They could overhear Koresh and Schneider talking inside because of the bugs they had placed in the wall. Why couldn't they hear the women and children inside? That's an important issue. So we move forward in time, and we find that the tank makes several more assaults on the concrete bunker, adding more CS gas. And at one point, on the infrared videotape, interestingly enough, you can see the vehicle arrive back from having allegedly, according to the government's report, allegedly having its CS gas tanks restored or refilled. And they come back, and they're sitting outside of the structure at the same location where it had gone in before and just narrowly missing the women and children going through the door. And then something interesting happens. The turret on the tank reverses. Instead of having the boom face forward, with the CS gas device on it, it reverses to the forward position where the gun is facing forward, the demolition gun on the turret. When that occurs, that increases the amount of room between the hull of the tank and where there are people and the turret of the tank, so that if you wanted to, you could have people in the hull of the tank, then exit the tank up through the top of the turret through the commander's cupola, as it's called. Well, when you look at the profile of the tank and the profile of the structure, if the tank were to drive inside the structure, the cupola on the turret would be just above the ceiling slash first story floor, or second story floor of the structure, to where if the tank was driven in, as it was, you could then have people exit the turret onto and into the second story of the tower structure. It's at that point, that is also on a level even with the roof of the concrete records vault. At that particular point, the vehicle goes in and with the turret facing forward, and it stays inside for 10, 12 minutes, and then it backs out, and it sits outside for an additional 10 or 12 minutes, and then it goes back in with the turret still facing forward, and it's inside the building again for 10 or 12 minutes. It's our contention at that time that it offloaded a demolition team that placed an explosive charge on the roof of the bunker. The Branch Davidians had low-grade explosives. They had gunpowder and black powder. They did not have C4 dynamite or anything of that high explosive nature. And the net result was when the tank finally backed out again and was outside once again, nothing more occurred in terms of what we could see visually. But ultimately, down the road, once the fire had started in the building, some very interesting things happened. The building started to burn. At about 10 minutes into the burn, a horrific explosion occurred. Actually, if you watch Waco: A New Revelation, you'll see that there were actually two explosions. One was a high explosive detonation on the roof of the concrete vault. High explosive detonation is a lot different than what followed fractions of a second later, a gas Blevin explosion. We found the remains of a 100-gallon propane bottle in the evidence locker, and we found the top to that bottle. The top had been severed from the body of the bottle, and I'll tell you how after we get back.
We'll be right back.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
What happened to John McCain? He used to be a straight talker. Now he's running the most dishonest campaign in modern American history. John McCain is trying to deny it, but here's what he told the Pueblo Chieftain about the Colorado River Compact that helps protect our water rights.
So the compact that is in effect obviously needs to be renegotiated.
John McCain said that on August 14th this year at a forum conducted by the Chieftain, and his remarks remain on their website, chieftain.com. Listen again.
So the compact that is in effect obviously needs to be renegotiated.
But now he denies saying it at all. Because John McCain knows renegotiating the compact means Colorado will lose water rights. John McCain, he's not the same, but he's for the same old Bush economics.
I'm Barack Obama, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Obama for America.
Millions of women have been misdiagnosed and been given dangerous prescription drugs. In reality, they're simply suffering from hormone imbalance. Stress, environmental chemicals, poor nutrition, and age all can affect your hormones. Do you have hormone deficiency? Find out with our simple self-test that will help you determine if your hormones are suboptimal. Call Radiant Clinic at 970-278-0900 for your free test or visit our website at radiantcliniccolorado.com.
Why is the MRS-2000 different from the usual magnetic therapies? Magnetic resonance stimulation has sawtooth pulsating frequencies, increasing cell oxygenation, improving metabolism, relaxing muscles, and eliminating pain while raising cellular energy so the body can heal itself. It's simple, it's effective, and it's for the entire family. Call Sherry Beitzel at Inside Out Therapies, 970-402-7174. That's 970-402-7174. Or go to www.mediconsult.tv.
Well, Dr. Stan here, our guest this morning, Mike McNulty. We're talking about what really happened at Waco, the story that the government has never released, that the media has covered up, which Mike basically has actually demonstrated beautifully in the films that we do carry, and, of course, the new film, The Flare Project. But go right ahead, Mike.
Well, the film project, called The Flare Project, was a unique undertaking. We recognized the arguments, pro and con. We recognized Danforth's reports wound up being totally bogus. And I should probably finish off my little explanation about the propane bottle. The gas Blevin explosion that followed sequentially, the high explosive detonation on the roof of the bunker, that gas had to have been released in order to take the shape that it took, as big as the gas Blevin was. It expanded, the gas expanded in the air, and it was a huge gas Blevin explosion, a couple hundred feet tall. And that gas had to be released prior to the detonation of the explosive on the roof of the bunker. And so what we found was, and our explosives experts, two of them, confirmed that the top of the bottle had been sheared off with a det cord explosion. Det cord is an explosive cord that's used to initiate explosions and so on and so forth. And it in itself has an ability to cut things with an explosive force.
And somebody had very sophisticated explosives had actually planted this there.
It was either a radio-controlled detonation or it was a timer-controlled detonation. And it was more likely a radio-controlled detonation, which is well within the sophistication of the FBI and its cohorts, the Delta Team folks. Matter of fact, I suspect it was all accomplished by the Delta Team folks. And the top was blown off, releasing the gas in one large whoosh and allowing it to expand into the atmosphere. And at that point, once it had expanded, the explosive on the roof of the bunker was then detonated. And you can see in the film footage how that high explosive detonation caught the edge of the gas Blevin, which had not been ignited up till then. And it ignited above, just directly above where the high explosive detonation took place. It was like watching a match being set to a fuse. And it ignited the gas Blevin. All that took place in fractions of a second. Well, the net result is that the gas Blevin explosion, if you will, covered the high explosive detonation to where, unless you analyze the film frame by frame, you wouldn't have noticed. Most people would not have noticed. Interestingly enough, we brought a third explosives expert in, and he examined it, a retired Air Force general, and he examined it, and he's the one that discovered the dual nature of the two different explosions. And when we looked at that, we said, oh, my gosh, and you can look at it frame by frame and see everything happened in just that order. So that explosion, when it occurred, assuming that there were still people that were alive, women and children, in the bunker, that certainly, when that explosion occurred on the roof of the bunker, killed whoever was remained in the bunker alive.
But weren't the bodies, of the children show the expected of the explosion?
Yes, and here's the interesting thing. Senator Jack Danforth determined that the explosion occurred because the Branch Davidians had some gunpowder-filled grenade holes in a box stored on the roof of the bunker. Well, you could set off a whole box of those, and they would no more than scratch the surface of the concrete. That's all they would do because the explosive energy was not focused. What did occur was the physical evidence in the aftermath was an approximately 20-inch hole was blown through the concrete. It was beveled down, indicating the direction of the force of the explosion. The interior of the room suffered the overpressure of the explosion and bulged out the walls like a balloon and cracked the walls and lifted the roof, the ceiling of the structure, and just shattered it. And then, of course, inside the room, there was a stainless steel refrigerator, a commercial restaurant refrigerator, inside the room, just a little offset by a few inches, offset of the center of that hole, that blast hole. It was blown down and melted. And you have to understand the kind of heat necessary to generate that would be in excess of 3,700 degrees Fahrenheit, because that's the melting temperature of stainless steel. I'm sorry, 3,000, not 3,700. 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And that stainless steel refrigerator was a melted blob sagging down from the force of the explosion. And then, of course, the remains of the children who were directly under the blast. All that was found was essentially a foot in a sock in a little tennis shoe of a 1-year-old. And the upper leg bone, the shin bone, was attached to it.
But we see we can't let the American people know that this explosive, that the Delta Force was there and they blew up those children. I mean, that's so inhumane. How could that happen to American children? All right, if it happens to Iraqi children or Afghan children, but American children, they could not let the people know.
Well, I would suggest for the answer to that question, people need to see Waco, A New Revelation.
Sure.
Because it certainly goes into that. It also shows the damage done to the children. And then for a compact explanation about the shooting issue, they need to see a piece of work that I'm extremely proud of, and the men that put it together with me, the scientists and the film people and the gun experts and the FLIR experts that worked with us, called the FLIR Project. And today that's what we have available. We have both films available, and we'd like to encourage everyone to get both films. But today we're focusing on the FLIR Project because it is the first time in its history that it's become available on DVD. This is an official release. I am the owner of that film. Cops Productions owns it. And this is the first time we've offered it on DVD. And I think when people see it, they'll be amazed because, there was a film made by the Marx Brothers, Groucho Marx, called Duck Soup. And
Mike, we're out of time. God bless. Thanks so much. And we will put out hopefully the people want to get it, and we'll make it available through Radio Liberty. God bless. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
The Federal Communications Broadcast Advisory for Political Broadcasting Regulations states, all broadcast facilities must make available to all legally qualified candidates equal opportunity and reasonable access at the lowest unit rate. KHNC has complied and made such time and rates available to all legally qualified candidates. If we run any political candidate, we must run all political candidates.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and I hope you enjoyed our interview with Mike McDoldy. If you can enjoy this, to realize the enormity of what's happened. But of course, we do carry the films Waco, A New Revelation, Waco, The Rules of Engagement, and now the FLIR Project, which basically goes into the background of documenting the fact that they were firing, that people of the FBI and Delta Force were firing into the compound so the people couldn't come out. And of course, by then, most of the women and children had been killed by the explosives planted by the Delta Force. But you can't let the American people know that, because the government has denied it, but the government lies, and they lie. And it is because there is a wicked group that runs our government. The Trilateral Commission runs our government, and behind them, the powerful spiritual forces that energize the movement towards the New World Order, the New World Financial System, the New World Currency, the New World Religion, and the imposition of the New World Leader. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You need to help us. You need to help Mike get the information out. Because if we can understand Waco, then we can understand what happened on September 11th, 2001, and we have not been told the truth. The plans were already made for the attack on Afghanistan. We needed a justification, and of course it occurred that day. But we know we've been lied to, because if you look at the films of Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where Flight 93 nosed down and crashed directly into the ground, there's no wreckage there. How could a plane crash and there be no wreckage? And yet the wreckage strewn over an 8-mile radius, but no wreckage where the plane hit the ground? Ladies and gentlemen, they've lied about that. If they lied about one thing, it's all a lie. Well, you need to get the information on Waco. It's beautifully laid out, including the people who talked to the people who were in the Special Forces Delta team that went in to kill the women and the children. And they'll do that to the Davidian children. They'll do that to you and your grandchildren, and under your children and your grandchildren. You need this material. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then to understand who really runs the government, of course, you need to get my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness, my talk on the Forbidden Secret, and the supplement to that, Secret Knowledge. And, of course, they're both available for Radio Liberty. There is a syllabus that goes with that, the Forbidden Secret talk, and then, of course, the talk on the planned police state, and then this as material in it, it will take you an understanding of there really are organizations that contact the supernatural, that deal with the supernatural forces, and the prince of this world. Understand, it's not imaginary, it's real. You can't understand anything going on today. The fact that they planned this economic crisis, this crisis is aimed at bringing about a new financial order, and with that, the destruction of your pension, your insurance policy, the value of everything you own will be destroyed when they destroy our currency. You need to help us get out the information. And, of course, you'll find our information at RadioLiberty.com. You can listen to our programs there at